Our scripture reading today is from the last book in the Bible, Revelation 1, the verses 8 through 20. And you will not hear it at first, but while we read from scripture, you will sense the presence of Christ that we're celebrating on this first Advent Sunday, and you will also sense that this is already the message for our future, not only for those who heard the message 2,000 years ago. The Master declares, I'm A to Z. I'm the God who is, the God who was, and the God about to arrive. I'm the sovereign strong. I, John, with you all the way in the trial and the kingdom and the passion of patience in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of God's word, the witness of Jesus. It was Sunday and I was in the Spirit praying. I heard a loud voice behind me, trumpet clear and piercing. Write what you see into a book. Send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. I turned and saw the voice. I saw a gold menorah with seven branches, and in the center, the Son of Man, in a robe and gold breastplate, hair a blizzard of white, eyes pouring fire blaze, both feet furnace-fired bronze, his voice a cataract, right hand holding the seven stars, his mouth a sharp biting sword, his face a perigee sun. I saw this and fainted dead at his feet. His right hand pulled me upright, and his voice reassured me, "Don't fear. I am first, I'm last, I'm alive. I died, but I came to life, and my life is now forever. See these keys in my hand? They open and lock death's doors. They open and lock hell's gates. And now write down everything you see, things that are, things about to be. The seven stars you saw in my right hand and the seven-branched gold menorah, do you want to know what's behind them? The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The menorah's seven branches are the seven churches." Here ends our scripture reading. It sounds a bit mystic, and that's exactly what it was intended to be. Because even the presence of this information on paper those years could have landed the Christians even in a deeper problem than ever before. That's why it's written in a mystic language. The Christians understood, but most others couldn't. And that leads us into the celebration. Christmas is still a time of light here and across the world. And multitudes of Christians are celebrating with lights during this Advent and Christmas time. So for us, there is a connection between these lights and our faith. Throughout the ages, Jesus is often portrayed with light, an attractive picture in many Christian hearts. Jesus, visible amidst the lights. In short, Jesus as light. During the height of persecution against Christians in the early Christian era, John portrays Jesus as walking amongst the lights of lighted menorahs, holding 7 shining stars in his hands. John, he knew that if he could help the persecuted of the first century to carry this image of Jesus in their hearts, their faith would never falter and their hope would always stay alive. John's Jesus is telling those who suffered not to fear, but to trust in him as the living one who will be with them forevermore. You know what? That first century message actually hit home because something happened in early Christianity. The fearful band of early Christians became an unstoppable force that would go through the centuries and enlighten the world. On this day, the searching question is, tell me, what image of God do you and I carry deep in our hearts? Is it an imitation of only one of the many artistic impressions of Jesus Christ? They come a dime a dozen, and they all look different. I can show you 50 pictures of Jesus. Not 2 of them alike, because all of them came out of the imagination of people in later years. So, our images of Jesus, deep in our minds and hearts, will differ. To everyone who listens this morning will be different from the one sitting beside you. Because it is simply not important whether our images of God are identical or not. But the fact is that our specific God image has power in it. The power to either enhance our faith and devotion, or on the other hand, drive us to cringe in unnecessary fear. Those who carry such a powerful picture of God in their hearts soon discover that it inspires, it guides, it makes them feel loved and cared for, providing them with hope and renewed strength from day to day. For John on Patmos centuries ago, it was the image of Jesus walking amongst the lights. For John, Jesus was light, the light of the world. Question: who is Jesus for you? You know, it's just more than a century ago that Gamaliel Bradford, the poet and writer, tried to capture the optimism of his age. At that time, things were going well in the world. So, religion was actually outdated, he said. Know what Gamaliel said? He said, we do not really need God anymore. We're living in an enlightened age. So he wrote a poem. And the title of the poem was, Exit God. 2 words. Exit God. God, he proclaimed, I need you no more. We are modern people now. We can take care of ourselves just fine. Thank you very much. But then things changed. Gamaliel Bradford was sent off to war. And there he saw the horrors of human depravity. He saw the stupidity of greed and corruption. He threw up his hands at what lurked in the human breast of his own heart. And it was then that Gamaliel Bradford lost all faith in himself, in so many things that he adored and believed before. So that year, it is written in his diary, "Who will tell me something about God?" Same man. A British nurse wrote about the time when she was caring for Rudyard Kipling, the immortal British poet. At that time he was terribly sick and spent long dark nights in restless agitation. The nurse came up to him and asked, "Do you want anything? Do you want anything?" she quietly asked. And in a very weak voice he said, "Now I need God. I want God. I need Him now." In our times, so many are echoing Kipling's cry, and we utter the call in a variety of ways. I want God. I want to see God, and I want to make some sense out of this crazy world, this world of lunatics playing unholy games in the politics of the world, this world of murder and hostility and famine and broken homes. I want to sense God. I want to feel God. I want to get rid of that loneliness that wrapped itself deep inside me, around my heart. I want to know God. I want to find some purpose for what I'm doing at my job. St. Augustine said, "There is a God-shaped hole in all our lives, and our hearts will remain restless until we find our rest in God." So when God suddenly appears out of the woodwork of our lives, He shakes us with overpowering light and glory. Have you ever sensed God in the quiet of your prayer time? Or maybe in a quiet place by the seaside, on the top of a mountain? Were you ever filled with that overwhelming experience that just takes you away from where you are and lead you into the light? If not, God is still to be found in sincerity, not in ceremonies, in sincerity, even this merry morning. And you know, the table of the Lord makes touchable a visible picture of the Lord coming to us. As we reach out for the bread, as we sip the wine, we hear echoing through the ages the assurance of acceptance. You belong to me. The assurance of love. I love you. The assurance of forgiveness. You are forgiven. See, smell, taste, share the light in our midst, even today. Oh God, let it be. Let it be for each and every one of us this morning. Amen.